Djibouti. It's one of the smallest countries on continental Africa, known for hosting a number of foreign military bases. The French are there with their largest military base in Africa. The US with some 4,000 troops, then Japan, Italy, Germany, and recently China with a naval base. Djibouti is strategically located on the Horn of Africa, with access to both the Red Sea and the Indian Ocean. It is only 32 kilometers away from Yemen, a neighbor to Ethiopia, Eritrea, Somaliland, and Somalia. It also opens on the world's busiest shipping lane. And it's no surprise then that Djibouti attracts investment from basically everywhere. Robert Besseling, you are the executive director of the political risk advisory company EXX Africa. Your company recently carried out an investigation in illegal weapons trade in the Horn of Africa. You found that Djibouti has become a regional arms trafficking hub.
Hello, Zenith. Yes, you're absolutely right. Djibouti is in a very particular position at the moment. It is one of the fastest growing economies in the world. It has been for a few years now. That's mostly because of its buoyant marine cargo sector. And that is on the back of being essentially one of the most strategically important positions in the Middle East and Africa, right on the Red Sea, giving out onto the Gulf of Aden. Now, that means that a lot of shipping and shipping services have been going in and out of Djibouti. And on the back of that, we have recently found increasing evidence of legal and illegal flows of weapons entering Djibouti to be distributed in other parts of Africa. Now, in our latest report, we laid out a number of arguments and some of the evidence that Djibouti is indeed involved in arms trafficking in the Horn of Africa.
So Djibouti is in the center of this web of arms being illegally shipped, but to which countries and groups?
Now, most of the weapons seem to be coming from Houthi-controlled territory in Yemen, just across the Red Sea. These then are transshipped in Djibouti and are mostly going to northern Somalia to armed groups that are being supported by the government in Djibouti. There is also evidence of some of these weapons reaching armed groups in Sudan and South Sudan, as well as potentially towards Ethiopia.
The country serves as a transit location then for weapons trafficked in between Yemen, where there is an arms embargo, and Somaliland?
That is correct, yes. At the moment, we're seeing weapons being shipped on dhows from the Yemeni coast to the southeastern coast of Djibouti in particular, where a number of new port developments are being placed. And from there, many of the weapons are ending up in armed groups in Somalia.
You ascertained that AMISOM, the African Union mission in Somalia, is involved in distributing weapons in Somalia.
Yeah, our latest report mentions quite a bit of evidence that the Djiboutian contingent in the African Union mission that is deployed in Somalia has been involved in supplying weapons, including illegal weapons, to armed groups in northern Somalia. These are essentially armed groups that have been previously supported by the Djiboutian government, and where for several years we have been unable to find exactly the sources of their weaponry. And it seems that Djibouti's contingent deployment to AMISOM, which of course is allowed to take weapons into Somalia, which is under a very strict arms embargo, has been shipping some of those weapons to armed groups previously and still currently supported by Djibouti's government.
And the African Union is unaware of that?
I can't comment for the African Union, but certainly as there is quite a bit of evidence that is popping up at the moment, I can only imagine that they be becoming aware of the situation in its current form.
Does the Al-Shabaab terrorist organization also depend on Djibouti for supply of arms?
Al-Shabaab was previously supplied, according to evidence that has been collated over the past few years, by, well, especially from weapon shipments, including from countries like Eritrea. That's always been denied by Eritrea in the past, but certainly the United Nations has collated evidence from that front. There is no evidence at the moment that Djibouti is directly arming Al-Shabaab. Also, it certainly would not fall into the country's foreign policy because, in fact, Djibouti's military is deployed in Somalia to curtail Al-Shabaab territory and activities. So there's certainly no evidence of that. But Al-Shabaab being active in the region as an armed terrorist group, there is a possibility that with the proliferation of weapons in the region, that Al-Shabaab will be able to get hold of some of these weapons.
Now that Eritrea is emerging from decades of isolation with the rapprochement with Ethiopia, you say that it represents an opportunity for Djibouti to take over Eritrea's market in supplying arms to the region.
Eritrea has been an old foe in the region for many years, and it really has had the pivotal position in arms trafficking and supplying weapons to armed groups. The UN monitoring group previously also had evidence of Eritrea, for example, supplying weapons to Islamist militant group Al-Shabaab, in the past at least. Now that Eritrea and Ethiopia are rekindling peace overtures and that potentially Eritrea could open up to the international community again and improve its diplomatic status, there is an argument that Eritrea would have to lose its central role in the arms trafficking in the Horn of Africa. That would open up a vacuum in arms trafficking into which Djibouti, which has existing networks of supply chain arms trafficking, could potentially step into. This is an argument that is made in our report and is certainly a key argument to why we think Djibouti could become a more central part of the arms trafficking trade in the Horn and how weapons could increase flowing through its territory.
Illegal weapons trafficking in Djibouti, you say, is almost institutionalized within the government of President Gule, who has been in power since 1999, and that's 19 years now.
Let me be clear on this point. The report does not state that Djibouti's government is actively encouraging arms trafficking. There is certainly no policy in place for the government to supply weapons to regional armed groups. However, there is evidence collated in our report that senior Djiboutian military officials, government officials, and heads of state-owned enterprises have ties to companies that are involved in the funding and facilitation in other ways of arms trafficking into the Horn of Africa. So this includes transshipment as well as funding of arms trafficking.
What did you uncover about to what extent government officials were involved in illegal arms trafficking in Djibouti?
Right. So the report names a number of figures involved in the arms trade in Djibouti, including government officials, heads of government or state-owned enterprises, and military officials. These people are essentially have been tied to the arms trade. And based on that evidence, it would seem very conceivable that the Djiboutian government is aware of its position in arms trafficking and that it is indeed actively encouraging it.
Robert Messling, you also point out the silence of international powers who are turning a blind eye to what is happening under their nose. Is it not in their interest to intervene?
Djibouti at the moment, as you mentioned in your introduction, has an important hosting agreement with a number of Western and Asian countries which have leased military bases on Djibouti's territory. This includes the US and France, Italy, Germany, and Japan, as well as China. Now, it would not be, our report argues that it would not be in these countries' interest to reprimand Djibouti or in fact to impose punitive sanctions, given that many of these countries are UN Security Council members, and that in fact they would be fearful of losing their leases over their military bases in Djibouti. Now, again, this is part of the argument of the report and would also illustrate why so far we've seen no concerted action by the United Nations or by these Western and Asian governments to try and curtail the arms trade in the country. And I could refer you back to the United Nations monitoring group over the arms trade in Somalia and Eritrea, which has been monitoring and publishing evidence on the arms trade in the region for several years, also pointing out the role of Djibouti in the past.
Aren't there any concerns that there might be a backlash? I mean, through terrorist organization, through criminal groups?
There is always a risk of blowback, both for Djibouti as well as for the militaries that are deployed in Djibouti and the region. For Djibouti, we are already seeing, because of the proliferation of small arms in the country, a higher risk of armed criminality. That rate of armed criminality has been slowly increasing over the past few years. Similarly, if weapons were to fall into the hands of armed groups which are hostile to Djibouti, which would certainly be a possibility, like, for example, Al-Shabaab, then the risk of terrorist attacks on Djiboutian soil, as has happened in the past, would certainly increase. And certainly also that would target foreign military personnel or foreign commercial assets in Djibouti or the region. In that case, yes, there is certainly risk of blowback because of the arms trafficking in the Horn.
Robert Besling, thank you for joining RFI.
Thank you very much, Sinead.